Pastor John Randall speaks of a coming global leader that is unlike any other.
When you read historically the accounts of militant, fanatical dictators throughout the world, they will be nothing in comparison to this one who is coming. This man will make Nero, Mussolini, Stalin, Hitler, and Mao look like lightweights in comparison to what he will be capable of doing. And one of the ways that this leader will receive such wide acceptance, listen to this, and this should come as no surprise to you. How does he receive all of this acceptance? Through deception, through lies.
It's great to have you along as we present A Daily Walk. Pastor John Randall will be with us in just a second. Today, we'll pay a visit to Revelation chapter 13. Here, we get a glimpse of the coming global leader, also known as the Antichrist. This person, who will commandeer the reins of world power, will have very distinct characteristics, and it certainly can't hurt us to know what they are. Turn to Revelation chapter 13 in your Bible as we get to know the coming world leader, the Antichrist.
If you have your Bibles, if you'd open with me now to the book of Revelation, chapter 13. Revelation, chapter 13, with a message entitled, Here Comes the Beast. Or, No Beauty in This Beast. I went through a lot of titles. Revelation, chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. Then I stood on the sand of the sea. And I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and on his horns, 10 crowns, and on his heads, a blasphemous name. Now the beast, which I saw, was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled, followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? As we look around the world today, we see growing conflicts. There appears to be more and more attempts from various groups to create a destabilization of the nation as well as a polarization of its people. From a biblical standpoint, we see many of the nations that are mentioned in Scripture that play a unique role in end times prophetic events coming together. There are so many signs of the times occurring that it's difficult to keep up with them all. And many are looking for answers and desire leadership to bring the chaos to a close. We have heard for many years that there has been a growing desire for what has been referred to as a new world order. But how can you bring the world together as one? In many ways, this theme has become really a point of our generation, this new world order, especially in areas of Europe. But listen, one of the keys to globalism and the kind of unity that the world is clamoring for and desires to be achieved is in order to establish globalism, you have to eliminate a system of absolutes. Because a system of absolutes stands in the way. I wonder if you know of any system of absolutes that might stand in the way. Friends, one day that which stands in the way of achieving this false utopia will be removed. That is when the church of Jesus Christ is caught up into the air in the rapture to be with the Lord, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. And following the rapture of the church, as we've seen throughout the book of Revelation, the world will enter into a seven-year tribulation period. And during the tribulation, people will be longing for a leader to deliver them, to give them the direction. They will need someone to bring together those who are divided and to unite the nations of the world. And we can see the world being conditioned for this even right now. Presently, the scaffolding is being put in place for this masterpiece of evil to be painted, when there will be a one world leader who will establish a one world government with a one world currency and a one world religious system. And Revelation chapter 13 reveals how this will come about as an unholy counterfeit trinity emerges, consisting of the devil, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. And collectively, working together, they will deceive the whole world. The Apostle John describes the person and the system by referring to it as a beast. And the first thing he does is he gives us a description of the beast in verse 1. When he tells us, "I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising out of the sea, having seven heads, 10 horns, and on his horn, 10 crowns, and on his heads, a blasphemous name." The word beast means a wild and venomous monster. Now, when the world sees this leader emerge, he won't appear to be a beast to them, but rather charismatic, compelling, and magnetic. Yet heaven knows his true identity. We find that his desire is to destroy everything in his way. This is his nature. We commonly refer to this individual as the Antichrist. Although we don't know his identity, certainly the spirit and the attitude of Antichrist is permeating the world. The term Antichrist means against Christ. The Apostle John records in his first and second epistle that the Antichrist denies the Father and the Son. He does not acknowledge Jesus. He denies that Jesus came in the flesh. And there have been many Antichrists, John says, and there is a coming Antichrist in the future. And the Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that this individual will oppose and exalt himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, and he will sit in the rebuilt temple of God, demanding to be worshiped as God. Now, the Bible gives him many other titles in Scripture. For example, in Daniel 7, he's called the little horn. In Daniel chapter 8, he's called the king of fierce countenance. In Daniel 9, he's called the prince that is to come. In Daniel chapter 11, he is called the willful king. And then he is also referred to as the one who comes in his own name. John chapter 5, verse 43. He's called the son of perdition, the man of sin, the lawless one. But Revelation 13 simply calls him the beast. John not only tells us that this beast is coming, but he tells us where he's coming from. It says that I saw a beast rising out of the sea. Now, many people have looked at this word for sea and interpreted it as the Mediterranean, which was perhaps suggesting the area from where this individual will come from. But others suggest that the sea that John mentions here is simply a reference to the sea of humanity. And the reason why we suggest that is because in Scripture, in biblical typology, reading through the Bible, you'll find that the sea often refers to Gentile nations. For example, Isaiah chapter 57, it says, "But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt." Later on, Revelation chapter 17 and verse 15, it says, "He said to me, 'The waters which you saw where the harlot sits, the waters are the peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues.'" In other words, the Antichrist comes out of the sea of humanity, raised up out of it. We also find that John cites the characteristics of the beast that are symbolic in fashion. Notice the symbols that John uses, and they are tied to Old Testament passages. First of all, the authority of the beast. It says that he has seven heads, 10 horns, and on his horns, 10 crowns. These are symbols. These are types. These are illustrations that represent a reality. They represent his political power and authority. The heads, horns, crowns refer to political power and authority. The prophet Daniel, if you're a student of the Old Testament and prophecy, you know that Daniel used similar language of heads and horns to represent rulers and nations. There's also this close connection to the book of Daniel and the prophetic outlook of the final empire that will come upon the earth to reign. In fact, the Bible tells us that it's going to be similar to the Roman Empire in its dominance. It's going to be iron-like, but it will have a built-in weakness that will cause it to eventually crumble. The 10 horns mentioned here relate to the beast. It refers to a 10-nation confederacy that will come together to assist the beast during the tribulation period, ruling during that time. A 10-nation confederacy. The 7 heads point to the rulers of those nations, and the crowns point to the authority that they have been given to rule. This is the authority of the beast. But also the apostle John points to the attitude of the beast. It says in verse 1, on his heads, a blasphemous name. The 7 heads of the beast each have a united advertisement of blasphemy against God. The message of the beast, the political agenda of the beast and his character are completely blasphemous as he speaks against Almighty God. Again, the prophet Daniel, closely connected to the book of Revelation, tells us in Daniel chapter 7 and Daniel chapter 11 that these things are so. Daniel 7 verse 25 says, he, speaking of the Antichrist, shall speak great words against the Most High. In Daniel chapter 11, verse 36, it says, the king, this Antichrist, shall do according to his own will. He will exalt himself, magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper until the indignation be accomplished, for that which is determined shall be done. In other words, the words that he speaks, the message that he proclaims is blasphemous against God. And there are many messages that are permeating the world today that are blasphemous against God and his word. Things that the world applauds and God says from his perspective, it's an abomination in my sight. The spirit of Antichrist is alive and well within the world. But John continues to describe the beast in greater detail and his description of the beast that comes out of the sea. He tells us that he was like, verse 3, a leopard. Notice that word, his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth was like the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power, throne, and great authority. John says, this is what the Antichrist was like, a leopard, a bear, and a lion. Why these creatures? Why mention these? Again, folks, listen, as I've been saying to you week after week, this ties back to the Old Testament, that those who read this letter would understand what it was that John was referring to. Because in Daniel chapter 2, the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, had a vision, and from man's perspective, he saw 4 world empires that were represented in a statue. But from heaven's perspective, in Daniel chapter 7, God's perspective concerning these world empires are likened to beasts that John mentions here. Look at Daniel chapter 7, verse 46, and see the connection. The first, he's talking about these world empires, was like a lion and had eagle's wings. And I watched as its wings were plucked off. It was lifted from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a heart was given to it. And suddenly another beast, like a bear, was raised up on one side. He had 3 ribs in its mouth and between its teeth. And then he said, arise, devour much flesh. And after I looked, and there was another beast like a leopard. In Daniel 7, Daniel sees a lion, which represented Babylon. He sees a bear that represented Medo-Persia. He saw a leopard that represented the Grecian Empire. Daniel was looking forward where John in Revelation is looking back. And he sees that the empire of the Antichrist will have similar character traits of those former world-dominating empires, but it will be worse. He'll have the cat-like vigilance of a leopard, slow and crushing power of a bear, and the authority and ferociousness of a lion. When you read historically the accounts of militant, fanatical dictators throughout the world, they will be nothing in comparison to this one who is coming. This man will make Nero, Mussolini, Stalin, Hitler, and Mao look like lightweights in comparison to what he will be capable of doing. And one of the ways that this leader will receive such wide acceptance, listen to this, and this should come as no surprise to you. How does he receive all of this acceptance? Through deception, through lies. Satan is the father of all lies. He is the great deceiver. And the world is so taken off guard and taken in by the lies. What do? They worship the beast. They worship the one who is a liar. In fact, we see here the adoration of the beast. Verse 2, the dragon, that's the devil, gave the beast, that is the Antichrist, his power, his throne, and his authority. And in verse 3, and I saw one of the heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast and worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. The reason that the beast will be so believable, welcomed, and applauded is because of the deception that is fueled by the devil himself. The beast is the devil's puppet leader in the world. And there are some such leaders even today. But the devil is the one behind the curtain, pulling the strings, as it were, making the Antichrist dance. And one of the ways that the beast receives worship and recognition is that he recovers and survives some mortal wound. That's what it says in verse 3. I saw one who was mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and the world marveled and followed the beast. During his reign, the beast, or the Antichrist, is mortally wounded. However, the wound is healed, and this is the reaction of the world. They marvel. It means to be greatly astonished. There are several suggestions as to what this mortal wound represents, or what is it that takes place. We know that this event is important because John mentions it in verse 3, verse 12, and verse 14. Some suggest that it's simply a reference to a once dead empire that is revived. Others suggest that it's a personal wound to the Antichrist himself, while other scholars suggest, and I would perhaps even lean in this direction, that perhaps it's an assassination attempt on the life of this world leader, where he dies and then rises again. Wouldn't that be the counterfeit to the Christ, to die and then rise again, and the world marvels? It's interesting to point out, the Bible tells us concerning Jesus that he was wounded. He was wounded for our transgressions, for our sins. He went to the cross and died in our place. Jesus was wounded, and then Jesus rose again from the dead. What we know for sure is that whatever this wound is, it serves as the catalyst that launches the world into beast worship. The world is deceived. The world buys into it, and they begin to embrace it and worship it. We see many similarities even in our world, in our culture today. I know you are sensible, discerning people, and you understand exactly what I'm talking about. But in verse 3, all the world marveled, followed the beast. They worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast and who can make war against him? The effects of this miraculous recovery is that all the world marvels and follows and worships the beast. But ultimately, listen, folks, they're worshiping the dragon behind the beast. They think they're worshiping the beast, but in reality, they're worshiping the devil. And this is what the devil has always desired. The worship that he desired to be directed toward him instead of toward God. The devil can use people to get them not to worship God, but to indirectly worship him. And here you can see that their worship is directed toward the dragon. Use similar terms. Notice of what the Bible says people would say about God. Who is like the Lord? There's none like the Lord. Now they're saying, who's like the beast? No one can make war with the beast. He's untouchable. He's unstoppable. He becomes their God. And one of the beast's most deceptive and yet convincing characteristics, listen to this, folks, is in the things that he says, in the information that he controls. This is how he deceives people. The information is controlled, and thus people are deceived. Look at what it says in verse 5. He was given a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. He was given authority to continue for 42 months, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. See, like the dictators of the past, the beast will rise to power through his persuasive speech. With a wicked and evil heart, the Antichrist speaks blasphemous words, and his blasphemy is against God, and it'll be the rhetoric of the kingdom of darkness, of hell itself. As he rises to power, it says he's given a mouth. He will have the attention of all the people, and what he says will be blasphemous, and it'll be on blast. All the world will hear it. It'll be directed toward God, toward his name, toward his tabernacle. And listen, he will also blaspheme those who are dwelling in heaven. We'll be up there. He'll be blaspheming from down here, those who are in heaven, perhaps saying why they were taken, why they were removed, that they were a problem to society anyway. Who knows? You know, the Bible does tell us that out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. In the book of James, we have a description of the potential damage of the tongue. In James chapter 3, it says, "And the tongue is a fire. It's a world of iniquity. And the tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body." And listen to this. The tongue is set on fire, the course of nature, and is set on fire by hell. The Antichrist, his tongue will literally be set on fire by hell, and he will be full of deceit and deception. In the Old Testament, again, Daniel prophesied that one of the attributes of this coming Antichrist would be his arrogant words. He would speak with pompous words, Daniel 7:8. Daniel 7:25, "He shall speak with pompous words against the Most High and shall persecute the saints of the Most High." Having been given his authority from the devil, along with a convincingly deceptive tongue and the control of information, the Antichrist gains a firm grip on the remaining nations of the world. But listen, folks, understand this, his time is limited. He has a brief moment to reign before he is removed. You remember, we read last time, in Revelation 12:12, that when the devil was thrust out of heaven, he came down with great wrath because he knows that he has a short time. Well, this Antichrist will have 3.5 years, 42 months, 1,260 days to do as much damage as he possibly can do. That last 3.5 years of the tribulation period before he is destroyed. He's given a window of time, and then he will be removed from power. But during that time, he will persecute and remove all those who are unwilling to follow him.
We'll pause right there, but don't go away. Pastor John Randall will be back with more from Revelation chapter 13 on A Daily Walk. We're getting to know the Antichrist through this message called Here Comes the Beast. You can hear it again online at adailywalk.org or oneplace.com. It's also available through the Calvary South OC app. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land." That beautiful verse served as the inspiration of a book we'd like to send your way called If My People, A Prayer Guide for Our Nation. Written by Jack Countryman, this will no doubt stir your heart and mind as you read 7 noteworthy prayers from past presidents. They were inspired during some of our country's darkest days. This prayer guide not only reminds the reader that in God we still trust, but also brings some measure of hope for our country just when we need it. You can order that today online at adailywalk.org or call us at 877-242-0828. The cost is just $8. And anything given above that amount will help us deliver God's word on stations like this one all across the great USA and around the world. Again, call 877-242-0828 or donate online at adailywalk.org. Let's get back to Revelation chapter 13 now.
In verses 7 through 10, we observe now the war of the beast. Follow along, pay close attention. It says, "It was granted to him," that is the beast, "to make war with the saints to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, over every tongue, and over every nation. All," verse 8, "who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear to hear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints." Folks, listen, the beast not only speaks blasphemous and violent words, but he also backs it up with violent actions. He is granted temporary authority. Now, please make note of this. It says, "to make war against the saints." Who is that? Which group is that? The word saints is referring to, listen, to those who miss the rapture. There will be people that get saved during the tribulation period, but they will have to die for their faith. They missed it. There will be people who, once the church is taken, will come to their senses and realize everything they said was true, and they will turn to Christ. But if they don't take the mark of the beast, they will be put to death. If they don't worship and follow him, they will be put to death. And he will have the power to persecute them from every tribe, tongue, and nation, and many will die as a result. His authority will be worldwide. He will have dominion over every tongue, every nation, every people. And the universal dominion of the beast will result, folks, listen, in a division upon the earth, a division. See any division today? You see the world being conditioned by division? It's happening all around us. Folks, this is, listen up. This is a dress rehearsal of things to come. People need to have their eyes open, their ears open, their hearts softened, aware of what's about to take place. Listen, this isn't a farce. This isn't a fairy tale. This is prophecy that is on the way to being fulfilled. And here we see it right here.
And all of this will happen one day, just as the Bible foretells. We need to be rapture ready and help others to do the same. We'll finish up this message tomorrow on A Daily Walk with Pastor John Randall.
God bless.
This program is made possible through your generosity and brought to you by Calvary South OC.